A huge wealth gap between blacks and whites in the United States has ballooned over the past 25 years. A study of the Institute of Assets and Social Policy at Brandeis University found a typical white middle-class family owns five times the financial assets and wealth as the typical black middle-class family. The study, which tracked 2,000 families since 1984, found a quarter of black families had no financial assets at all. The study did not measure the rise and fall of housing values owned by black and white families, which is harder to track than other assets like stocks and bonds. Currently, the top 1% of the U.S. population owns 40% of the country's wealth, and the top quarter of families own over 85% of all financial assets. In contrast, a third of the African Americans do not have a pension to pay for retirement. The Brandeis study also found that African Americans and Latinos were more likely to be sold risky and higher interest rate mortgages during the recent housing boom. 2 years ago, the Libertarian Nevada Policy Research Institute took a new approach to uncovering dirt on the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority. The research group hired investigative reporter John Doherty to do the digging. Doherty uncovered a pattern of extravagant spending, lax accounting, and shady oversight at the convention authority. The report on the abuses caused a stir in the local media and prompted the convention authority to reform its management practices. An increasing number of out-of-power conservatives are now trying their hand at investigative reporting as a tactic to push their agenda. According to the Washington Monthly magazine, the Daily Caller website, founded by media pundit Tucker Carlson, exposed a scandal at the Republican National Committee when the party was found to have paid a $2,000 bar tab at a bondage-themed Los Angeles nightclub. Also, the conservative Texas watchdog website teamed up with the Center for Public Integrity to expose how serial rapists on college campuses go unpunished. But in their new vocation, conservatives will have to overcome their own history of doing sloppy, politically driven hit jobs. The Arkansas Project, targeting Bill Clinton in the 1990s, and the more recent misleading Acorn videos shot by conservative activist James O'Keefe will make it difficult for conservatives to be taken seriously as credible investigative reporters. First Lady Michelle Obama created quite a splash when she planted an organic garden on the White House lawn and invited local school children to pick the first crop. But new enthusiasm for going organic has not helped upstate New York farmer Max Pitts, who earns an average of $7 an hour despite selling his vegetables to eager customers twice a week at New York City's Union Square Farmers Market. According to the American Prospect magazine, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is still dominated by big agricultural interests, devoting its efforts to the export of commodity crops. Similarly, the USDA has allocated most of the agency's $134 billion budget to farm subsidies for corporate agriculture while failing to assist small farmers transition to sustainable practices. Organic advocates give the Obama administration credit for hiring good people to run the government's organic program, which has begun to bring criminal cases against farmers who are abusing organic standards. But Obama has been criticized by environmentalists for appointing biotech industry insiders to key policy positions. For example, Islam Siddiqui, the chief agricultural negotiator for the U.S. Trade Office, previously worked at CropLife America, the farm chemical trade group, the same group which criticized Michelle Obama for not using crop protection chemicals in her White House vegetable garden. Predictably, Republican Senators John McCain, Saxby Chambliss, and Pat Roberts are opposed to Obama's modest efforts to promote organic produce. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Indu Anand.